give you the news. For energy info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur.
I want to hear you all roar. Ready? One, two, three, roar! Yeah!
Hey, I'm Eugene Driscoll. Welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indies weekly podcast. Almost weekly. This is a podcast we attempted to do about a week ago. There were primaries in Derby and Ansonia, political primaries, last week, September 12th. And we met the next day to do a podcast like this, Ethan Fry and myself sort of reacting to what happened and talking about what's going to happen going forward and playing you some clips. But then, you know, news happens. The news never stops.
Always at the most inconvenient times.
So that's Ethan Fry, the other reporter here, who's decided to whisper his first lines there.
Ease yourself into it, you know.
I'm going to turn it up, and then you'll start screaming. I'll have to
think
turn
about
it,
talk about it, yeah.
So, yeah, so that was that. We just got busy. So I thought tonight, it's 8 p.m. on whatever day it is. Monday, September 18th is when we're recording this. And I just put a note on our Facebook page, facebook.com, Valley Independent Sentinel, asking people, hey, you want to call in? Go ahead and call in. We put our number out there. So we may be interrupted by a really loud ringing phone at any moment. Or more likely, no one will call. Because the thing, whenever you try to tell people or give directions or suggestions or guidance to people through the World Wide Web, it never happens.
Mm. Or the phone will ring and it'll be somebody wanting to talk with whoever pays the electricity bill, which is...
I hope they don't do that at 8 p.m. I mean, it's late. This is our this is prime time Facebook right
for
now.
Eyeballs on the...
this is according to Facebook our analytics, this is the time to do it. And I should just say, if you're listening, you heard the Bad Slugs, Ride the Dinosaur.
Oh, nice.
Bad Slugs, that's a Connecticut Post / Hearst Connecticut Media rock band. But and then you heard right after that, that was Art Gherkin.
And that's Ken Dixon singing and lead on that, right?
Then after that, it was Art, yes, it is, Art Gherkin's. September 12th, when the results were announced that Anita Delgado had defeated Carmen DiCenzo in the Derby Democratic mayoral primary. At some point, Art basically did that, hear me roar.
Right.
And
picking
that's
up on a motif from a guest column he had written.
Right. And yeah, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. It goes back generations, but it also plays into what Anita Delgado did to win that primary. She focused on females. I said this that night during the primary. She focused on females, not necessarily people who were Derby political junkies, not necessarily women who were reading the Valley Indie every day, but people that like her personally, responded to her message. That's why even during the debate we had in here with Carmen DiCenzo on a previous podcast, she kept saying, I want to rise above, rise above, rise above. I believe that's strategy. And this goes back, this is, you know, Bill Clinton's strategy, Obama strategy. It's a tried and tested democratic way to get people to the polls. And that's why Art was saying that. That's why he wasn't just looking to hear a bunch of women roar at him. That was an allusion to or a reference to, you know, the demographic they sought to put her over the top in Derby. So no one, of course, it's 8:07 p.m. and actually no one's gonna call. Maybe I'll say something. I'll beg. I'm glad you're so high energy. So with that, what we should do is let's play a clip from that night. These are clips that not necessarily made it onto valleyindy.org after the primary, but we're playing them now. And this one is about Anita talking about how Derby is not going backward. This is a big thing she had said that night. So hold on one second, and I'll see if I can get it.
We're not going backwards anymore. We put that stake in the ground. We are not going backwards anymore. We are moving Derby forward.
Yeah, so that was that. Now, when you were there, she wasn't there the whole time. That was another thing that Mayor DeGatta did that was slightly... out of the norm.
Unconventional.
She wasn't, we've been places where they're like in a back room and they're waiting, but she wasn't anywhere in her headquarters until the results came in.
A few minutes after, I guess she was out trying to like at the polls, trying to get out the vote until the last minute. And then, 8 o'clock came and went. And then the, there's only two voting locations, so it doesn't take long for the results to be relayed, and then moments.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. And here is another clip of Mayor Anita DeGatta addressing her supporters September 12th, moments after she declared victory against Carmen DeCenzo in Derby.
To everyone here tonight, Derby, you're going to be there for Derby, and Derby does want to get better. We have proof that Derby wants to get better.
That's true.
I'll vouch for it. I'll be the first one.
All right, and then on the other side of town that night, or it really wasn't the other side of town, but down Route 34 going towards New Haven, Carmen DeCenzo and his people, obviously a very different mood there. But obviously he was disappointed, I think if you look at it on paper, it's a big shock. He was the front runner. I thought when he announced that he was going to run, Carmen DeCenzo had always been the name that was like lurking out there. If Carmen DeCenzo runs, if he decides to run, he'll have 95% of the vote. It'll just happen.
And that was a big part of the reservations at DeGatta's headquarters, though. Like, people were conscious of that fact and, in her camp.
Very well-known family. His brother was legendary Derby football coach. He was a football coach, just involved in the community. Always the top vote getter in the alderman races.
Right.
Since 2011. On paper, it looked like he would win. I noticed in the week before the primary, my wife is a Democrat, and she kept getting mailers from DeGatta a lot. There was more, and then they were targeted. There was the one mailer. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to show it on a podcast, but it was a placard, and there were probably 20 females in there. And it said something like, "Our time is now," very targeted. And even in their paperwork, their contributions, their money, they had defined one of the, it was female mailer. Like, it was very focused,
Yeah, yeah.
It was on purpose. So I started to think like, wow, they're running Carmen's side is running sort of a traditional campaign. What we've seen before in Derby a couple of times, and she's running like she did.
Brought in the pros.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah, which was a source of controversy, but now it seems like, well, she pulled that off, so it makes sense. But anyway, so that was Derby. And then, the other thing going on in Derby, and you asked about it that night, we had kept hearing about the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, Young Democrats, and we had Stefan Bohuniak from Seymour. He's a member of the Board of Selectmen. We had him on this podcast. We had asked him about that. You attended one of their meetings at one point to get an idea of what they're up to. And it seemed like they were playing a role. They were really going door to door. They were doing some of that grunt work they're a brand new group, essentially. This was their first test, if you will.
Yep.
They'd
point out that they offered like the chance for both candidates to come speak to them and be endorsed and whatever, but yeah, they got behind Mayor DeGatta after
and they
endorsing
said,
her.
And actually, this is a segue because you talked to Kara Rochelle. Kara Rochelle lives in Derby, and I believe, I don't know if that's actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but she is the one person in this group, and
I think president, yeah.
Okay, and so she, you asked her, like, how did you get involved with Mayor Nagato, and what, you know, what did you guys do, and how did it come about? So here's Kara Rochelle of the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, excuse me, talking about Mayor Nagato's win September 12th.
This seems to be a good night for you guys.
This was a community effort. That was this. We were just a piece of the puzzle. This was we were one group of many groups throughout Derby that wanted to see her succeed because of what she's done for the town.
Do you guys and say, like, hey, I need your support, or
so it was interesting because she's always been very welcoming. She, you know, once she noticed that we were an organization, she did want to connect with the Young Democrats in the community. So it was organic. It was her saying that she was supporting what we were doing as an organization. You know, we did reach out to Carmen's campaign and invite him to come in for an interview, and he twice did not come. So, you know, and she, through what she's done for the town, you know, was able to demonstrate to us that she has her mind and her heart in what needs to happen for Derby. She does her homework, and she's got her pulse on what needs to happen to really revitalize this place. She gets it as far as a modern economy and as far as what needs to happen for not just the young people, but all people in the town.
What's your prognosis for November?
I think it looks very good for Anita. The reason being that, you know, in the past 2 years, she's been able to show a great deal of progress and what's gotten done for the town, you know, what's happened with the redevelopment, what's happened with all the new businesses that have opened up. She has systematically put her shoulder into every component of this town to move it forward, and people have really noticed it. We've knocked doors, and we've talked to people that are, you know, meeting independents and Republicans that have said, yeah, we actually understand what she's doing, and we're behind it. So I don't think that we're going to have a problem, because I think that that work speaks for itself. You know, there's people that talk the talk. You know, she really walks the walk.
So they had written letters to us as well, the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats. So we had seen them as this emerging group.
And it shows that, you know, you mentioned, like, endorsement letters that are just sort of, you know, don't mean much. Like, that showed their endorsement with their, you know, ground game sort of backing it up does mean something, I guess.
Combined with DNA campaigns, and that was the quote-unquote professional campaigners that Nagato brought in from New Haven. And you also talked to her campaign manager, who is from DNA campaigns.
And let's not forget, they essentially, you know, caused this whole thing to go into action when they contested the results of the Derby Democrats nominating procedures.
Yeah, it was Andrew.
Correctly, it turns out. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that's
McAdoo.
I usually try to ask somebody how to pronounce their name, but I forgot.
That's why, I just refer to, like, he's the, you know, the campaign guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, here he is talking to Ethan, and this was, you know, the DeCenzo side had sort of tried to cast him as the outsider. Mm. You know, heard that a lot. Like, we don't need to bring outsiders in to Derby. You know, we Derby people know what the issues are. Which, you know, I don't know, because the DeCenzo campaign was sending in letters as well, but I know from talking to Nagato's side thought that the DeCenzo letters and guest columns were too inside baseball. So here's Andrew from DNA campaigns. Sorry, Andrew, if you lived in Derby, I would take the time to learn your last name. No, I'm just kidding. We're not broadcasters.
Was it just a matter of getting out, identifying her voters, and getting them to the polls on primary day?
I think more so than that, it was just getting Anita in front of the voters. She's always been somebody who's good at communicating with the people at Derby, and this seemed to become a race more about inside of politics and not about the people. And what she showed is when she goes out and she talks to people like she always does since she's been in office, people respond well to that. And it's obviously what happened tonight.
And do you think, you know, what's the prognosis for the November election now, given tonight's result?
I mean, we need to unify the Democratic Party, obviously, in Derby. And then once we do that, I mean, this is a Democratic town. It should still be a Democratic town.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. So that was Derby.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, just as a sort of an exit question, I'm wondering, like, you know, it was the... new, you know, the old style of campaigning versus, you know, the Dugato bringing in DNA campaigns, as you said, is the Zekin, the Republican nominees campaign, more sort of traditional, or could you say one thing or another about it?
Is
there any lesson to be drawn?
As far as I know, it's being handled locally so far. I actually haven't checked in a while. I mean, that night of the primary, I checked in with his campaign manager, who is a local guy. Andrew Backlick is not new to Derby by any means, but he's new to the political scene. So, I mean, what they think, from what I've heard, is that now that there's been this rupture within the Democrats, and I talked to some people about this over the weekend, that the DeCenzo camp is going to go for Zekin. And that's sort of what the Zekin side is feeling, from what I hear. They're going to pick up, this has helped them. From their perspective, from what I've heard, they rather take on Mayor Dugato in a rematch than having to take on DeCenzo. Because I heard that a lot. Like, if it was a citywide race with all the independents, they would go for DeCenzo. But then again, I mean, the one clear takeaway, I think, from Derby is that Anita Dugato is a very good campaigner. Look, this is perfect. We're getting some people now. Valley Independent Sentinel, this is Eugene speaking.
Eugene, it's Chris Bowen. I think it's this time.
Hey, Chris Bowen!
Young Democrat himself.
We were just talking. Wait, hold on. You're on the air right now. Let me make sure. All right, what did you just say?
I said, did you hear that?
I can hear you right now. You just said, can I hear that? We played some audio from Kara Rochelle, the head of the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, and we were talking about the influence that group, of which you are a part, played a role in the Derby primary last week. So with that being said, what in the wide world of sports did you want to talk about Chris Bowen?
I just wanted to shoot the breeze, brother, because I'm Chris Bowen and I can do that.
All right. Do you you want to talk about Slapshot? Have you watched have you changed your position on the movie Slapshot? Or did you want to talk about Derby politics? Or?
Well, I did want to talk. You know, I do want to talk politics because, you know, I need to clarify, I'm not a voting member of the Young Democrats because I am not young. However, the one thing about them is that they are very motivated and very inclusive. They have asked me to participate despite the fact that I'll never have voting rights in their group. And it's a pleasure to be around them. They're very young and they're all very driven and they all have...
Wait a sec. I'm confused now. Like, why will you never have voting rights? Is it like a restraining order? Like, what happened in your... Why can't you vote in this group?
Statewide have a rule that you can only be, I think, 18 to 36. Either 35 or 36. I turned 37 in May.
Oh.
So I aged out. I pretty much aged out as soon as the group was formed. So I cannot vote. However, I can still participate. I can still go to meetings. I can still, you know, I can still put forth ideas. And I've been connected to Valley politics long enough. I have some valid ideas. I just can't actually vote on.
All right, so let me ask you, Chris, now we understand how the Ethan, wake up. How the organization works. I wanted to ask you, there was talk, you know, in Mayor Dugato in Derby submitted a guest column, letter to the editor after the primary saying, you know, now is the time to unify Derby. The Connecticut Post had a story, like we talked to Carmen that night and he wasn't ready to unify right there and then. You know, we didn't know if that was from the sting of the loss. We sort of held back a little bit on his comments based on past practices where we've asked people, you know, in the right when they've lost and they've said things that, you know, it's like you try to be human with people, which most media does not try to do. But the Post did a story a couple of days later and Carmen basically said the same things. He's not quite ready yet. There's some things that have to get done. And I saw some members, or at least one member of the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, got into a little tiff with someone from Ethan.
Oh yeah, a little back and forth with the
with somebody from Carmen's campaign. Yeah. It was a little heated in terms of Facebook heat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I took that as well. Nobody's they're not going around. They're not passing the peace pipe quite yet.
That kumbaya moment. Yeah.
So Chris Bowen, even though you're not a voting member of the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, nor are you a resident of Derby. You live in Seymour. What is going to happen in Derby? Are the Democrats going to come together? Because I know the Republicans on Rich Zekin's side, who is the Republican candidate for the November 7th general election, they're salivating. They think they're going to pick up Carmen's group, and they're not going to go back to Anita Degato. They're going to go to Rich Zekin. What say you, sir?
Well, I only speak for myself. I speak on behalf of no organization except my own. That's just me. So I need to make that abundantly clear going forward. I think there's too much at stake in this election not to unite. Obviously, everybody's still very sore from the loss. There's obviously been some old calcified problems that have been going on in Derby for decades. Forget years, decades. That extend back well beyond Anita's mayorship, beyond Tony's mayorship, dating back when I was a kid in the military. So nobody gets into town politics for reasons beyond the altruistic. Nobody wants to put in this kind of time or effort or get yelled at by so many people without the best intentions. And that goes for Carmen's team, that goes for Carmen himself, that goes for Anita, that goes for Rich. Everybody that's involved has the best intentions. But I think Democrats need to realize, whether you are on Carmen's team, quote unquote, or Anita's team, that it's time to come together. We had an election. Anita won. And I think problems can be worked out, but ultimately we realize there's too much at stake right now to worry about the primary that happened last week.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, one thing that I was surprised at that I saw sort of put forth by the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats, or at least, you know, the one guy I'm Facebook friends with. I should qualify this. I'm talking like I'm David Brinkley. But there was this thought that, like, Mayor Degato was the out. Actually, you might have said this too. Mayor Degato was the outsider, and Carmen DiCenzo was the insider. I get that to a certain point, but from my perspective, I would hear that and I'd say, like, well, wait a second. Mayor Degato has been involved in the Democratic Town Committee for a long time. Mm. I mean, she was, when I started in Derby in 2009, she was pretty much the only vocal Democrat that would speak out. She was the literal face and voice of the opposition when Mayor Steferi and the Republicans controlled things. Other than former Mayor Mark Garofalo, who is now the town clerk, he would show up and sort of throw grenades during the public session at Board of Aldermen meetings. But it was always, you know, Dr. Anita, Dr. Anita, Dr. Anita. When a Derby blogger filed a federal lawsuit against the Democratic powers that be, Anita Degato was part of that group. I only say that because that was, you know, if you want to know who the inside power brokers were, you look at who's getting sued. That's always a way to know. So how did Dr. Anita, or Mayor Degato, get cast as an outsider here? Because on the other side, you have Carmen DiCenzo, who when we launched in 2009 was the football coach, and he only got into politics in 2011. But he got cast as the insider here. So, Chris, how did that happen?
So, just to clarify, I moved to Derby in 2008. I started getting involved in politics around the same time you started up Valley Indy. And I think what happened...
I just want to interrupt. So, anybody out there who hates Bowen, you can thank us. Bowen got involved in politics because of ValleyIndy.org. Mission accomplished.
Just around the same time. Not necessarily because, even though those two things happened... Listen, you know, from one time to the other.
That
doesn't denote
you, and
causation.
You can send all your hate mail, everybody, to Eugene Driscoll at... Anyway. So, I think what happened was Carmen has ended up aligning with some of the people that have been involved in politics in Derby for a very long time. The Barbara DiGeneros, you know, some other people that have been in that. And what happened, I think, this time was that Anita did some things that the... some of the older members that have been aldermen for a long time and just been in those trenches alongside Anita in a lot of cases, didn't appreciate the way she handled certain items. They didn't appreciate the way she went about sewer business. They didn't appreciate her sister-in-law being involved. So it became almost a matter of offense. I can't really speak on anybody's behalf in this case, but it became a matter of offense. And because of that, because of they're more offended by the way she did things other than the result, that's how Herman came to become the avatar of sorts of people that have been involved a lot longer than he has.
All right, I'll buy that. So is there anything else you want to add? Those were my questions I've been dying to ask you or anybody from or even remotely connected to the Naugatuck Valley Young Democrats. What else did you want to talk about?
Well, don't forget, I don't speak for Young Democrats.
Yeah. All right, look, it's a call-in show, all right? You think Rush Limbaugh is checking his facts?
No, I don't, and that's what, hey.
Everybody's so, like, I noticed, all right, here's something that happened. The next day, right?
I don't speak on behalf of,
Nobody speaks on behalf of anybody. We all got our own brains. I get that. We're, you know, it's our own mouths. I'm not trying to put any, but I saw, like, the day after the primary in Derby, right, it wasn't getting red. It wasn't getting traffic really at all. And I thought we had by far the best story of all the local media covering that primary. We had same day analysis as to what happened. And so the next day, I'm like, hey, look. Every once in a while, you know, Valley Indy, we want people to see our content. We're not necessarily clickbait, but we do appreciate when somebody reads our stuff. And it was bumming me out that we weren't getting people to read the Derby primary story. So I did, you know, your sort of 2017 media thing where you list the, quote, winners, unquote.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it worked to some extent, but it seemed to offend people. We had, like, people saying, like, the winners here are the voters and God bless America. And I'm just, all right, I know all that. I know. Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, somebody's got to click.
Yeah. You said the only loser was you because of your online poll.
Right.
And I think that kind of goes back to my point, though, about just how visceral everything has been in politics. And we still have 2 months to election day. We have 7 weeks. And the main thing that I have a problem with right now is that everything is so personal and so biting, and signs are getting stolen, and people are trying to intimidate businesses. That's been apologized for and handled. But I think it speaks to a larger problem that we're having in the Valley, in that we're letting the national poison kind of infect us a little bit with all the battles that have been happening nationwide. And with the added detriment, we have to look at each other the next day. We can't just go online, say, you're a fuddy-duddy or you're a nutter bar, and then not, and then you have to see the person stop chopping it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Chris.
I could talk about certain things like, you know, the slate of Young Democrats, Seymour. We've got a very young Democratic fleet, Seymour. But I think beyond politics, what worries me is that ultimately we all want the same thing. We just want it in different ways. And I want everybody to kind of get us, put down the negativity, put down the doomsaying, you know, Valley Town here is going downhill. I don't see the impact that those statements have that make people feel bad. We all have our pet issues, and we can talk them out instead of just yelling about it online. And I think that, consider this a call to normalcy, if you will, to get us all talking and actually discussing the issues and how we can improve it instead of just insulting one another or taking their sides.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. We're all invested in the Valley. Mm. It doesn't matter if you own or rent. We, you know, everybody wants the Valley to succeed, including Ethan and I.
Mm.
So, yeah, Chris, those are good points. There was something else I wanted to ask you, but it's slipping my mind. So I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling, man.
That's what happens when you get old, Eugene. No problem. Great to talk to you guys.
Take care.
Yeah, man. Presumably her record will be
this 24 minutes into it.
Will this be a call for, well, let's see.
Hey, it's the Valley Independent Sentinel.
Hey, man, how you doing? John Lotto,
Hey, John, wait, hold on. Let me take off my headphone. I don't know if he's getting picked up on the phone.
I could barely hear him.
All right, hold on 1 second, John.
That was before you turned it up, I think.
Okay.
I could hear him better now.
You can hear him?
All right. Hey, John, do me a favor. Just count to five so we can make sure I can hear you.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, so he's audio too. All right, sorry about that. We just have the microphone right up to the speaker, but it's not working that great. All right, so you're on our air right now. What did you want to talk about?
Really, I mean, as far as Ansonia is concerned, I'm a citizen in Ansonia, and I've been there my entire life, basically born and raised. And I've lived through, you know, the Democrats holding office, and now the Republicans holding office, and I see the difference. The Democrats, when they were running office, they had a little click, and it reminded me, like, back in high school, like, the coaches, the kids that grew up with me in high school, like, they're running as Democrats now, and they all favored each other. Like, if you weren't part of this clique, nothing ever benefited you inside the city. This past election, or the election before the past one, when they kicked all the Democrats out, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, Ansonia went from, like, this wasteland to, like, people actually know about us now, you know? You got businesses moving to Ansonia now. The streets are getting cleaned up. You know, as far as the whole thing on the north end, I think that was part of the HUD project that they had. In order to tear down the project, they had to move certain people to certain areas, and I think that they got the bulk of the people that left. So, okay. I mean, I understand that perspective, but the city's being proactive about it. It's not like they're just sitting back and like, oh, well, you know, life sucks, let's just move on and we'll just deal with it. I mean, the mayor even said, you know what, we had planned on putting the police department on Olson Drive. Instead of putting it there, why don't we put it closer to our problem area and let's, you know, solve the problem before it starts. Mm. So, I mean, I see where I understand where he's coming from. Plus, I mean, he's bringing businesses back. All these abandoned buildings on Main Street, you know, he's starting to fill them up. We had when Della Volpe was mayor, he was a Democrat, and he got the city sued because he told the church, oh, you can't move in downtown because we don't want you here, you know? I mean, it just kept costing the city money because he was doing things that didn't benefit him personally, you know? It benefited the city. Okay, you had this empty spot that's been empty for, like, 4 years. You know, the church filled it in, you know? Now, instead of it being empty, there's something there.
Hmm.
The same thing with the rest of downtown. It's slowly filling up. You know, and for all this time, it was just ignored, like, well, whatever, that's just what it is, because all the manufacturing jobs left, so who cares, we'll just deal with it and let it look the way it does.
Yeah, I was on Main Street just about an hour ago, right? We're recording this, it's a Monday night, and because we're on Main Street as well, right? We're right in front of the train station. And yeah, the street is full, which was not the case ever.
Exactly.
But let me ask you, John, because I'm so glad you called. Thank you so much. But you had said that the Valley Indy, though, we're beyond bias, which I thought was an interesting comment because when Mayor Della Volpe was the mayor, you know, we're the ones that exposed some questionable tax practices involving motor vehicle taxes. We were hated by the Democrats, who would tell us
to this day by many, I think. You know,
so it was interesting. It's interesting for us
to hear now that we're
biased against the Republicans because, I mean, from my perspective, everybody hates the local media every 2 years because, you know, things get a little electric, I guess. Mm. So what did we do? How did we screw up?
Well, that's why I said, I mean, this time around, you know, I mean, the last election, you know, when the move went from Democrat to Republican in the valley, like the whole valley, you know, I mean, you're talking Shelton, Seymour, Oxford, like the entire valley just like had this amazing shift from Democrat to Republican, like overnight almost.
It's been Republican in Shelton for a while. Derby, maybe.
Everything was smooth up until, like, this recent election. I know this kid that's running on the Democrat side for mayor, he it seems like he does not appreciate being asked questions at all. Like, this kid is avoiding any and every question that comes his way. Like, he's like, you know what, let me go do a photo op with Rich down and do it. You're not... Way, let's dig up a garden. But then someone asks him about taxes, and he just ignores them and blocks them off the Facebook page.
Oh, you've been critical of that, yeah.
And I asked him about, because he went to a bar opening in Derby to go meet Senator Murphy. And
hey, we were there for that. Bad Sons.
Yeah, exactly. And I said to him, I was like, well, what are you doing in Derby? I thought you were running in Ansonia. And then as soon as he saw that comment, I mean, there was a girl who actually responded to my comment. But he deleted my comment and then blocked me. I couldn't say another thing, anything at all on his Facebook page whatsoever.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
like every time someone asks this kid a question, he gets rid of anyone who wants to ask anything.
Wait, but how does that translate into me and Ethan being biased?
Well, because now you guys, now with this whole Rich thing inside the barbershop, I mean, me personally, I find that just a little bit. I know how dirty this political wave has been. Like this year is insane.
Yeah.
Compared to all the recent years in Ansonia, and I mean it's been back and forth in Ansonia. Oh well, I'll do this, and this, and the other one. Oh, I'll do this, but this year alone, I cannot believe the difference from the last election to this one. I mean, these people, everyone's kids go to school together. You know, and these guys are literally fighting amongst each other. Oh, well, let me see. Well, this guy walked into this barbershop and said this in front of Rich, by the way. And then he posted on his Facebook and then ends up on YouTube, you know. But no one's seen the underlying. And I noticed on the bottom, the closed captioning said he walked outside to call Mayor Cassetti. Like, so you were physically outside in the middle of this film and you saw him call the mayor and say whatever he said to the mayor. But that was just something someone added in to make it appear that he had called the mayor when he walked outside.
Let me ask you, though, why...
I mean, everyone knows that guy.
Which guy? Which guy do they know?
Go ahead.
No, you said everyone knows...
Walked in on the barbershop. Yeah, everyone knows that guy. That guy walked up and down the street, like, every single day. And he's been doing it for at least 15 years.
Edward Musante, you're saying?
About Ed?
You see this guy, he's always on Main Street.
Are you talking... Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Always on Main Street.
Yeah.
Like for the last 15 years, the guy's been on Main Street.
Yeah. So you're saying that we didn't get like the unedited video because all we did was ask the people that were involved, including Ed, what happened. There was more to that story.
Right.
You're saying.
I honestly believe it was just too coincidental. Like Ed just happened to walk in there at the same time Rich was in the chair.
Right, yeah, and Rich is a candidate for the board of aldermen.
Doesn't even, right, and Rich is one of the people that Mayor Cassetti had actually endorsed against.
Right.
And I just find it a little bit, tiny bit convenient that it just happened to be the same time he was sitting in that chair.
Right,
well, like,
yeah.
Why would you, I mean...
And that's just watching the way this political year is gone. Like, the way everyone's trying to cut each other's throats, this is insane.
Right. I mean, I do agree. We are feeling that it's definitely more combative in Ansonia by far than it's been in since we've been around for 8 years.
I guess so. I would think a guy supporting the mayor wouldn't go in if Rich were in there.
But the Democrats' standing is, well, we'll just continue doing what Cassetti's doing, but we'll do it better. Like, Cassetti's basically doing everything he's supposed to. And all you're saying is we're going to do the same thing but better? That doesn't even make any sense.
Right, okay.
Compared to when you were in power and all you guys were doing was raising taxes and spending money.
You know what we're going to do now, John, is now that you've talked to us for like 5 minutes, we're just going to completely delete all your comments and pretend that they never happened. All right, good. I'm kidding.
We should have both candidates on for a podcast, though.
Right. But all right. So, yeah. Hey, I mean, all right. Yeah, that's a sensible thing. I don't entirely get how, you know, Ethan and I favor the Democrats in this situation. But I do understand that there's been a lot of people saying like, well, we should have. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Well, I had brought up a few times that this kid, Harris, has been literally like deleting anyone in Ansonia, anyone that asked him a question. He's literally deleting them and blocking him from his running for mayor Facebook page.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what we do with those, like, I mean,
what's he afraid of?
From our perspective, it's hard to do a story on every single issue that someone has, and that's one where I feel personally like, okay, you put it on our Facebook page, it's known, the candidate who allegedly deleted the stuff sees it, we leave it up there, but we don't necessarily stop whatever we're doing to write a story on it. So I didn't mean to ignore it or, pretend like give you the high hat or anything like that. It's just, you know, we try what we can every day. So even though, I mean, sometimes we get stories. Yeah, you know how it is. I mean, I wish we could write every single story all the time. But one thing that we do is like when people write letters or comments. I mean, I very rarely delete comments unless it's, over the top. If it's, we try to.
Personal attack.
I want my mother to be able to read this. Like we had about a million F-bombs on a story today. But anyway, yeah, that's that. That's our story or our mindset when we try to write a story. We wish we could write every single one, but it's just not possible. I mean, just so you look at the site right now, we have a most read story on there that's been on there since like 7 a.m. on valleyindie.org, and it's not really a story, but we've been so busy. We've been spending the last week trying to do this other Ansonia story, and it's taken up all our time. We just we're missing 100 other stories. So for every one story that we publish on any given day, there's five we miss, unfortunately. But it's not, I swear, it's not because we're communists. I mean, Ethan's clearly a communist, but I'll speak for him. I'm an independent. I think everybody's nuts.
Right. Like, I noticed, like, when I had brought it up on your page, like, there were other people who were like, you know, he's done it to me too, or he won't answer the question I asked. And I'm saying to myself, now, this is a guy who's supposed to be running for mayor of Ansonia. Now, Mayor Cassetti has an open-door policy. You walk into City Hall, he will sit down and talk to you. This kid won't talk to anybody. You know, that's a complete opposite from what the residents of Ansonia are dealing with now. And I just wanted, I'm obviously not the only person who's concerned about that.
Right, transparency. You always hear transparency.
Ignoring everyone and trying to make everybody go away. Now you're taking what Ansonia is doing, the direction we're all moving forward, taxes haven't been going up, and the mayor has an open door policy where everyone can walk right into his office and he will talk to you. So this guy who's just shutting everybody out, that's a problem.
Although, John, it could be your shirt. It could be the profile picture you have in there where it's you with that Tom Brady jersey. A lot of people just look at that and they don't want to deal with it. And they just I've thought about deleting you just on that totally irrational, thought. But.
Well, here was the thing. That was a Super Bowl bet. I lost. I'm a Colts fan.
Okay.
My best friend is a Patriots fan.
All right.
And the thing was, if the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I had to wear a Tom Brady jersey and leave it as my profile picture for a year. But I was upset, nice. So I flipped him off when he took the picture.
Nice. All right, John. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Anytime you want to talk to us, you can always just send us a message through Facebook as well. We tend to respond, and
I appreciate it.
Yeah, problem.
Or a guest column.
Oh yeah, that's another thing that like you could always. I mean, sometimes we don't always suggest this, but if you have a comment that you want to send in as a letter, feel free to do so. You can send it to us through Facebook or valleyindie.org. Look at Contact Us. And,
especially for those, not every story could be written about, but if you feel strongly about it, write a
That's actually
a letter to the editor.
A Facebook thing like that, deleting Facebook, that's a perfect letter to the editor. I'm not weighing in one way or the other, but that is another way to do it. But anyway, John, thanks so much for calling, man. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. You guys, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. And that is, that is, say what you will about Mayor Cassetti, say anything you want, but you walk into City Hall and most of the time, within 10 seconds, you could be like, hey, Mayor, what do you think about, or even walk by it and he might be outside on the stoop, as it were.
We should have just, I just saw him, it's about 7:30, he was right outside Copper City.
You could just record the podcast there, yeah.
I should have just kidnapped him. But all right, let's
see. Like a lot of audio we played of Mayor Cassetti.
Now you're screaming. You start off all.
Maybe I just reposition the mic. A lot of the audio we played of him is just, I've just run into him on the street and got talking about something. And
it's 90% of our stories.
hundreds of years we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day. Online clickbait, a brilliant way. It's free information here to stay. Not even hookers give it away. Advertising metastasizing. Newsroom shrinking. Constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur. Deadlines, bylines, pictures too. An editorial comment for a buck or two. Fire down the block, the murder next door. And now we wonder what it's all for. Social media coming free to you. Funny pages, the mayor's wages. Criminal seats, corruption schemes. Ink stained wretches asking tough questions. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. The presses are running all through the night. We're printing the truth with all of our might. We're platform agnostics, got that interweb too. Buy an ad, see what we can do. We still have subscribers, still have our fans. We're here every day, so give us a chance or we'll make an art stand. Just hold us in your hand and we'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur.